This is the Bris Poinsett Show. This is the Bris Poinsett Show. For the world's most dangerous infomercial, I'm your host, Bris Poinsett. Along with my producer, Ada, we bring you this weekly commentary and interview experience from the Numbers FM studio of the Portland Art Museum. This is the best of the Bris Poinsett Show, the world's most dangerous infomercial. I'm your host, Bris Poinsett, and along with my producer, Ada, we bring you this weekly commentary and interview experience from the Numbers FM studio at the Portland Art Museum. You can catch the full show every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on the Numbers FM 96.7. You can also catch clips on youtube.com/Bris Poinsett, plus exclusive bonus content on patreon.com/Bris Poinsett. Make sure to follow us on twitch.tv/TheNumbersFM, that's numbers with a Z, or the Numbers Podcast Network on thenumberspodcast.com. Again, that's numbers with a Z, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Bris Poinsett Show, the world's most dangerous infomercial, and a really good movie just came out.
Very much so.
Very much enjoyed. I feel like you very much enjoyed. The world very much enjoyed.
Absolutely.
Across the Spider-Verse. And yeah, if you've ever been to the Numbers studio, we talk about these things.
Frequently.
So, but before we get into Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, said something while we were offline and kind of setting up that I wanted to follow up on, which was just like 2023 for movies so far.
Yeah.
Or for, not for movies, but for comic book movies, mm-hmm. specifically for superhero genre, has been all over the place.
A little bit.
Like there has been, again, you have Across the Spider-Verse, mm-hmm. you have Guardians 3, yep. I think are some of the unquestioned highlights a lot of people might have, but also it's been a lot. So, yeah, could you talk about that a little bit more, Ado? Like, I know you just recently saw The Flash, yep. Transformers. Yep. Without spoiling The Flash, I'm still kind of on the fence whether I'm going to see it or not. Is it, James Gunn was saying it's going to be the, you know, it's going to be like The Dark Knight or like one of the greatest movies. What was it? Did it live up to the hype?
No. Oh. Not at all. I can't get too much into it because I know me and Am are going to do a review for it in the near future, mm-hmm. and I don't want to spoil. But the fact that I told this to Ambush, and I'm comfortable saying it here, the fact that this was the movie that was worth risking DC's credibility with Ezra Miller as an actor is highly embarrassing.
Oh, God.
Like, that is embarrassing, in my opinion. I don't like that movie. A lot of people do. I just don't. To me, this is a film that hilariously, like, if you disliked any of the recent Marvel movies and you like this movie, you're a joke. I'm sorry. That is just a joke. If you disliked any of the recent Marvel movies and you watch this and you're like, no, that was a really good movie. What are we talking about?
Oh, boy.
In my opinion, I'm personally very harsh on this film because I don't think it was worth bringing Ezra Miller. This movie should have been canceled, in my opinion, but they put it out and it's kind of embarrassing that they did.
Justice for Batgirl.
Yeah, Justice for Batgirl. Oh, my God.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn, that's, you know, it's unfortunate. Although, again, as someone who's kind of like on the fence about the movie, also good to know.
Yeah.
But yikes.
Yeah, I did not like The Flash.
Put the credibility of the future of the DCEU on Ezra Miller and nothing.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not going to say and nothing, but it sounds like we didn't get there.
Didn't do it for me. Did not do it for me.
And what else is... So I know with like... There's been this talk around... Is the thirst for superhero movies fading? Are the movies actually getting worse or any of that? And I think about, at least with the MCU, you know, we started off with Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh yeah, that's right. We did this at Comic-Con where I think I gave it a 2 out of 5.
Yeah.
I did not, you know, I didn't think the movie was that great. And honestly, like the most interesting things that have come from the movie for me have been things that had nothing to do with the movie. Jonathan Majors' legal troubles.
Yep. That's real.
Goodness. Also, and it's only this week, but Bill Murray being in that movie got a lot more interesting to me this week.
Yep, absolutely. Wow.
We're recording this on the 10th of June.
Yes, we are.
And earlier this week, we found out that Khalees and Bill Murray are dating. And I'm not a big celebrity dating gossip person, but
this is pretty funny news. This is pretty strange celebrity news.
Yeah, I'm happy for them. I love it.
Yeah.
But also, to paraphrase a show I was watching earlier, does the milkshake bring the boys to the yard or Bill Murray? Because those are two. Khalees, Khalees, if you're watching, I'm sorry.
Khalees, you just got to know. Dating Bill Murray is out of nowhere. Khalees and Bill Murray is a crazy couple. What? Yeah.
Again, I'm not the gossip person, but come on.
Wild.
Expecting that people aren't going to be like, you know, and again, I love it. It's wonderful. But the thoughts, thoughts will happen. I'm sorry. Please, I'm sorry. Anyways.
We're here.
Anyways. So it's been a chaotic year.
Yeah.
But again, Across the Spider-Verse just came out and, you know, it was being billed on the way up as the producers were saying, this is our Empire Strikes Back. And usually when anyone says that, when they're, you know, promoting a movie, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, I get why you do it.
I understand.
Because people have to be like, well, is it? And they'll go and see it. But this might be one of the rare cases where I'm like,
I agree.
I think they may have pulled it off.
No, I think this is fully, I've seen the movie twice now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be that person happily. I think this is easily one of the best superhero movies we've gotten. And I think has the future of an all time great animated slash just movie in general. This is pretty top tier filmmaking, in my opinion.
Do you have it over the first one?
Yes, I think so. I think so. As of this point, I like that they kind of went balls to the wall with what they did animation wise. I'm a big animation head. So animation wise, the way they just played in this one, we have not seen an animated film function like how this film functions. This is what you look at movies Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And this is the evolution of what you can do with that. And it all works. And it's beautiful. And then the story works really well too. There's a really well-written story behind this. I definitely think the highlight of the film is the push in animation, but that isn't me saying that the story is lacking. Cause there's a really strong story behind this. There's a lot of subtext in the story. I don't know if you caught everything. I don't want to spoil, but there's definitely some color schemes, some story nodes, some aspects of things that hits on y'all were alluding to that, and then this means something different compared to what we think it means. It's a deeper movie than I think people are gonna get first time through, which is really cool because it's also an animated film, so a lot of kids are gonna see it and be like, wow, this is meaningful. So I think I like it more than the first one. How about you? Where do you stand?
So it's tough because I'm going to see it for the second time tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've been watching a lot of reviews. And one thing, I forgot who it was who said this, but they were saying the art, everything is just, it feels better, but they're it's missing. They're saying it's missing that Hello Danger moment from the first one where, you know, Miles, you know, dives off the building. You have the song, you have this moment. It's just everything comes together. And I was thinking about that. And again, I'm going to go see it tomorrow. So, because I feel like that's an accurate, it's not even, I don't know if it's even a criticism, because it's just that moment was so iconic.
Yeah.
But I've been thinking about that. At the same time, though, at this point, I definitely, it's my favorite. Like, I have it over the first one.
Yeah.
It's easily a top five comic superhero movie for me. You know, and for the record, we are going to spoil a lot.
So we can't talk spoilers.
Yeah, we can talk spoilers.
Great.
We're going to get into that. But I just think, yeah, for me, again, it starts with the art.
Yeah.
Just, you know, when they are, especially when there was Spider-Gwen and it's like watercolors. Like, facts. You know, when they're talking, you know, that old Jay-Z song, like Song Cry, like this movie is crying on the screen to me.
Actively.
And I feel cheesy saying that, but like, that is the best way I can describe it. That is
the only way you can describe, like, the art. Oh my God. Yeah. Nah. Every world is so distinct. Like, Spider-Man of India's world is like, oh my God. Like the anywhere we go, anywhere a character pops up, like, I haven't even brought up my favorite character, Spider-Man UK.
Oh,
come on. That is like, we haven't even gone to his world, and it's like single-handedly, like, that design and the way they animated him stole the show for me. Like, that was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's so, some people kind of describe the art as just like, is, I mean, it's like everything, honestly, but it's just like, you know, saying like, there should have been more of a seizure warning for this, and like, probably in the best way, but also that is a thing. Like, cause it is, like I said, it's just going from different worlds, different styles, and like seamlessly.
Yeah.
Is the seamlessly. Just the wild part. And like you said, with these different characters, because it's not just, you know, different 3D, 2D art. Like, they go into the Lego world.
Yeah.
They come, we'll talk about some of the cameos a little bit, but like, and it's, they go into, what was it? The villain pops up, and we'll talk about the spot more in a second. Yeah. Just pops up in, you know, the convenience store from Venom.
Yep.
And like, as the cartoon, again, you talk about Who Framed Roger Rabbit, like, oh man. The
evolution. Just, I'm telling you,
it's so, I just, the attention to detail, it's so immersive. It's so like, it's overwhelming, but again, like, in the best way. In the
best way.
You say your favorite spider person was a Spider-Man UK.
Yep.
You know, actually, I didn't want to bring it back to the art real quick before I get to my my favorite random spider people.
Yep.
But I just, what I love with this is like the films themselves, and I'll include the first Spider-Verse as well. Mm-hmm. But then just like, you see how they influence the scene. You got a new Ninja Turtles movie coming out, heavily influenced by Spider-Verse.
Put some boots. Like,
even, you know, it's not the exact same thing, but we've talked about it on here, like Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. Yep. Like, it's like if Spider-Verse meets like Dexter's Lab, art wise. And it's just like, you see this, it's like, yes,
I'm loving
this influence.
This is, to me, I like the world of animation, like, has, I think we definitely got caught up in like the CGI era, and we got a lot of great movies. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, like, this does not exist without Toy Story. This does not exist without all the years of like evolution of CGI or like 3D animation. And like, this is partially a 3D animated film, but like, the style, I feel like with a lot of 3D animated films, you lose a lot of like playroom. Mm-hmm. And like, the way that this film and films that are animated in this style has just regained like this essence of play. Like, there, it, like, I'm feeling, every time I watch a Spider-Verse movie now, like an Into the Spider-Verse movie, I'm feeling how I felt when I first saw like Lion King. Like, I'm feeling how I felt when I first saw like the classic movies. Like, and like, this is stuff like, I obviously, like, I probably felt this way when I first saw Toy Story and Shrek and stuff like that, but like, there is something special about what they're doing in this. Like, it's just, it, we've never seen animation like this before. Like, this is the first time we are seeing like an actual, where you can have a character who is fully like 3D animated, next to a human, like a human person in a cage. And then like you pop back and you'll see Spider-Man PS4 hanging out with Spider-Man UK, who's half like animated in like different formats and like play art from like old UK art. And like, it's like collage art and it's crazy. Like, we've never seen this before.
Yeah. I mean, just, you talk about like with Spider-Punk, just literally like changing, again, like I said, like collage art,
mm-hmm.
going through that whole time. And again, it works.
It works.
It is constantly changing collage art next to this person, next to this thing.
Yep.
All existing in the same space. And I love what you talked about, that sense of play mm-hmm. with it, because it can easily feel real gimmicky to have what's every random spider thing I can think of.
Yep.
And just throw it into the same space, you know, do the joke, we're Spider-Man.
Yeah. And, yep. Yep.
And they do it, but it also works. Even though you've seen it in the trailers a million times. But like, yeah, you just, because there's obviously like the main characters, but I don't know. I have my two favorite, like, random spider, I can't even call them spider people. One was the T-Rex.
Yep, T-Rex was iconic.
Yeah, I was like, what? And then the other one was just Peter Parked Car.
Yep, Peter Parked Car. Yep.
Like, what are we doing here?
That was such a great nod to the spider buggy, too. Mm-hmm. Like, again, it's just so like they had fun with it at the end of the day. Like, if this movie was I was watching a review and someone said like the opening fight scene with the vulture in this movie, if they found a way to make that, like if that was in a live action movie, that would be the greatest fight scene known to humanity.
Oh man.
Like single-handedly. And it's like, that is the opening fight scene. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, and you got this vulture again. It's like, what was it, like Michelangelo?
Yep, era, Renaissance art.
Renaissance vulture. Oh.
That was crazy. And it works. It all works. Like, they had so much fun. And this is single-handed. Like, we're just talking the art. Like, I love how the first half of this movie is just like a family drama.
Mm-hmm.
The first half of like the story to this film is just a young adult learning how to be such and like live in the world and like learning to be himself in the world and being overconfident a little bit. But also, like, that's something I appreciate about the movie. It's like Miles knows what he's doing. Yeah. Miles is not like a dumb kid anymore. Like, he was never really a dumb kid, but it's like, this is like, nah, like Miles is very capable. So like, to see how undersold he is by so many characters is really interesting. Like, we don't get a lot of stories about like this, where it's like the character is actually capable. Mm-hmm. Like, the character, note, this feels like the opposite of the Flash TV show.
Oh, when you said that, that's what I thought. I was like, yeah, Miles, it feels like he's getting more competent, unlike Barry Allen on the CW.
Yeah, Barry Allen is super confident and super in, like, thinks that he can do it all and always loses, where it's like, we're watching as Miles is this, like, Miles, we think Miles won't know how to do something, and then Miles beats every spider person. It's like, what? Like, yeah. Nah, it's incredible.
Yeah. And you know, even like when he's dealing with, I mean, obviously he doesn't defeat the spot.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that more. But even when he's just like figuring that out in real time, like in that convenience store scene.
Yep.
And it's just, again, you notice the difference between how he's handling this versus how he would have in the first movie.
Facts.
It's just like, oh, okay, he's much more confident,
mm-hmm.
but while still being very much, you know, a goofy kid.
Exactly.
But it works. And, you know, you see that confidence. And then you also see the contrast, which I think the other part about Spider-Punk, where you see, like, where Miles would like to go.
Yeah.
And I feel like part of that is the confidence. Part of that is Gwen being like, yeah, I was with Hobie and whatever other dimensionists.
Yep. Like,
you know, when you're a teenager, you know, crushing on a friend and you hear, yeah, we're just together in another dimension. That is some crushing.
That is crushing stuff. The shoes, you left your sweater at my house. Like, oh
man. That the other part with Gwen where, yeah, they're they're in Miles' house, and she just pops out of the room. Yeah. Miles' parents just watch this white girl walk out, having left her sweater in Miles' room.
Yeah.
And we're all just, I feel like, as any melanated people watching this, just like, oh, we are, even if it's not like, it doesn't become the full conversation on there.
Yeah.
It's like, we are watching this. Oh, wow. This moment.
This moment has
Miles. Just the eyes.
Yep. Alone. The eyes alone. Again, the subtext in this movie, some of the lines, like, I remember Miles was like talking to his dad as Spider-Man, and he was like, you know, like, men in your generation don't talk about your mental health enough. And I was like, yo, y'all just threw that in there. And like, there's lines where it's straight up just like, they'll be like, yo, like, we can't move like those white kids over there. And mm-hmm. It's like, oh, snap. Like, y'all are just doing it. Like, y'all, this is, I don't know how you felt about this, but I felt like this was weirdly one of the most human superhero movies I think I've ever seen. Like, where it's like, again, the first half of the movie is just like a family drama. Mm-hmm. Like, the first half is a very realistic look at like family dynamics in a family that cares about each other. Like, it's not like they are a problematic family. This is a loving, caring family. Mm-hmm. This is a family who's pretty on top of their shit. And it's like, we watch as like change is coming into their life on both ends. And like, I don't think, in my opinion, neither Miles or his parents are right. Like, it's just like kind of like they're figuring it out. And it's really cool to see that, because like, that is a really realistic look at a brown family dealing with like issues of growth and change and like all of this. That's one of my favorite aspects of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when you talk about just like the groundedness of it, even when it gets to like the whole Spider-Verse,
mm-hmm.
and I think the whole like meta storyline around canon mm-hmm. and like canon events, it still gets to that, because it's like, we talk about Spider-Man India, where, you know, Miles unknowingly stops the canon event, like yep. stops his Uncle Ben from dying.
Yep.
Right. And it's just like, it gets, by looking at that, you are touching on the undeniable, like, human sort of like themes of this, where, you know, Spider-Man by nature, it's like, with great power comes great responsibility, right?
Right.
Like, I can do this. I want to save. If I can save this person, I'm going to do it.
Right.
I can do it. And whereas, you know, Miguel, Spider-Man 2099, it's like, you have to let these people die because this is essential to the Spider-Man story
right.
and the canon. And it's like, that inherent conflict is mm-hmm. deep as hell, actually.
It's so deep. And it's so interesting because, like, to this point, as someone who has seen this movie twice,
mm-hmm.
I still am curious. Like, I don't know what they're going to end up going with. Like, pretty much for those who haven't seen the film, again, please, if you're still watching up to this point, like, watch the movie. Yeah. But like, the concept of the canon event, like, the next movie, they have the choice to be like, Miles saves his dad, or the canon event happens and Miles' dad dies. Like, we don't know. Like, they could throw us either way, or throw us somewhere completely different. Like, this could get real meta real fast, like, at any point. Like, right. We don't know what could happen.
Yeah. Like, that's, I mean, even just, yeah, let's actually talk about, we'll get to some of the cameos and other stuff, but let's get to the plot a little bit.
Yeah.
With these canon events, and even, actually, let's skip all the way to the end, because it's, like, this movie did the thing you're not supposed to do in movies.
Mm-hmm.
It literally ended to be continued.
Yep, a full to be continued.
And like, we knew
yeah.
going in that it's like, it's going to be a two-part movie. Like, I know when I was watching it, I was so immersed.
I wanted more. I was ready to keep going.
I was like, they're throwing a lot on this story, and it feels like I've been here for 2 hours, but also, give me more.
I'm ready.
I will stay for this.
Yes.
But yeah, the idea that Miles tries to go back.
Mm-hmm.
Goes to the wrong world.
Yep.
Where Uncle Aaron is still alive, but his dad has died. And instead of Miles being Spider-Man, he is the Prowler. And also very much like, you can tell mom's influence is there much more.
Yep. He
speaks a lot more Spanish.
Yep.
Is a different Miles. But yeah, like, you just,
Great twist.
Yeah.
Like, I, first and foremost, like, this movie, I love a movie that does not hold your hand. And, like, we saw it all happen. Mm-hmm. It said Earth 42. Like, you need to know the facts.
Right.
Before it happens, but to really catch it in the moment. But once you see, like, it all play back, you're like, oh, wait, like, they didn't even try and trick us. Like, this is just, like, this is the, like, it was a good twist moment. Like, I was watching that scene being like, wait, did he get, what's happening? Like, why is his mom acting? How does his mom not know who Spider-Man is? And I'm like, oh, wait, no. Like, that was a great, like, twist moment. Like, that, when they talk about, like, their Empire Strikes Back, like, that was really the, like, the I am your father moment. Right. For this movie, and I'm like, hey, it landed real well.
Yeah, no, and again, because, like, you're just coming off of, you know, Miles basically, like, escaping all the spider people. These, and some of the scenes or some of the moments, clips we've seen in the trailers, and yet still they don't give you that full, like, mm-mm, that full chaotic chase,
right,
in all its glory. But you're coming off of that. And it's like, where can we go next?
Right.
And then just, like, it slows down.
It slows down so well.
And brings you into this, like, oh no, Miles is in the wrong universe.
Yep.
And he's not any closer to saving his dad.
Right. And Spot's just getting ready to destroy everything. I also would like to talk about Spot.
Yes.
What a fun flip on a Spider-Man villain that no one cares about.
Hmm. So, say more about that.
Like, the Spot in, like, the comic books and, like, preview, like, Spot is, like, a capable villain. Like, it's not like we're not dealing with, like, a matter eater lad or, like, a arm fall off boy situation here. Mm-hmm. Like, the Spot is a capable villain, and, like, his powers are very capable. But I think playing it up how it's always been played up, where it's like, oh, I can just, like, put stuff through my body in different holes and ha ha ha, to then making him this multiverse god is the best, like, twist. And, like, it's viable. And, like, again, like, I remember before I saw it the second time, I was watching it with some friends, and then, like, when they do the bagel throw, I remember being like, y'all remember that bagel? Like, y'all remember right? the bagel? Because it's so, like, it was, I feel like, amazingly, like, and I'm a fan of Spider-Man Far From Home, I think that it did the whole like, this character was previously in other movies and got their life ruined by another main character so well, in a different, like, they did it in a way that was almost better, because, like, this character was so inconsequential. Like, this character's life really got ruined by Spider-Man. Like, we don't know a lot about the Spot, but it's very quickly shown that the Spot was ruined by Spider-Man. No face, no body, no, like, there's nothing left, and he plays it so nonchalantly, but you know, like, it's like, nah, like, this person is hurting because of the lengths they're willing to go. Like, they are willing to just destroy a whole universe, a whole bunch of universes, because of, like, their revenge for Spider-Man. And that's, like, so, it's so interesting. I feel like for such a non-serious character, I feel for the Spot, and I'm so interested to see what they're going to do with him.
Even with the way they wrote it and scripted it out throughout the movie, where when we first meet the Spot in the convenience store, you know, Miles even calls him a villain of the week, and mm-hmm. it's a callback throughout the film.
Yep.
Because it's like, this guy is goofy. It seems like they're not, you know, the most competent villain in the world, although they do, again, like I said, they have this multiversal, you know, they're able to travel through the Spot in his body.
Yep.
Even the art, again, on that, where it's like, again, some review I was watching described it as like, looks like an unfinished character, and is very much purposefully drawn that way.
Yep.
It's all so deep, but like I said, it's not the villain of the week. He's being underestimated in real time, and then, you know, a little over maybe halfway through the movie, it's like, nope, I'm still here.
Yep.
Actually, I'm still this immense power I have. I actually do know how to use it.
Yep.
Oh yeah, and Miles, I'm gonna kill your dad.
Your father is dying,
and you, what are you gonna do to stop me? And suddenly, with just that, like, just that writing.
Yep.
Oh no, this
got threat. Real. This threat. Got real.
You were a real mm-hmm. you're the real villain here. This is, oh boy. You know, that is, again, just like every little detail. It's not just, like I said, the art is probably going to be the first part that stands out to a lot of people mm-hmm. for good reason, but just the writing.
The writing on this one.
it's amazing. Let's keep on the villains though, because obviously
Miguel O'Hara.
You know, what did you think of Miguel? What do you think of Oscar Isaac? Who I was thinking, I saw some graphic where it's like, okay, so he's played Miguel O'Hara here. Yep. It's Moon Knight.
Yeah,
he's in it's another Marvel one.
Apocalypse
and X-Men.
Yep, in X-Men.
Was he in something else?
I'm trying to think. I mean,
Poe Dameron. Yeah.
I think that's it. Yeah, I think that's it.
Also, it's absurd.
He is getting money right now. Yeah. Shout out Oscar Isaac. So, Miguel O'Hara, I feel like, man. So, okay. This goes into some subtext stuff. Mm-hmm. I've been watching a lot of interviews and stuff like that. And there's two specific, like, under the cover things. And specifically, we'll go with the Miguel one first. So, like, the whole story of, like, Miguel O'Hara and like the connection with like the canon events and all the other Spider-Men is like, it's meant to play off of how people originally reacted to Miles Morales when he first like became a character in comic books. So it's like, everyone's being like, oh, he's so different from Peter. Like he can't be Spider-Man. Like we don't want a black Spider-Man. Like you're not allowed to be here. You're a mistake. Da, 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 da. Like literal lines that are thrown. Obviously, they don't say like, we don't want a black Spider-Man, but like they call Miles a mistake. They say he wasn't supposed to exist. Yep. They say like the canon events, like he's too different. He's trying to change up the stuff too much. And like, that was purposefully done by like the writing team and the directors. And then like, again, like it's such a fun, like, I remember watching it being like, is this what they're trying to do? Like, is this like the feeling? And again, like to me, it's like, I can't imagine being like 13 watching this movie right now, because it's like, there's a lot of really good subtext and like there's stuff where it's like, we know, like watching this, like Miles proves that like, no, like his way, his different powers, the way he thinks, the way he acts, like he's much more, if not the most capable Spider-Man amongst all the other Spider people. And like, the fact is, like, that's always been the case. Like, when Miles Morales was first released, like, people were like, nah, we don't believe it. But it's, like, over time, it's only been proven that Miles is, like, kind of, like, I'm gonna say something maybe sacrilegious, but it's, like, he's kind of cooler than Peter. He's better than Peter.
I'll subscribe to this.
Over time, I feel like already, like, with Miles Morales has spawned two of the best Spider-Man movies, if not the two best Spider-Man movie of all time. I just feel like at this point, like everyone talks about, like everyone was raving about Spider-Man PS4. And then like they did the Miles Morales game. And then you had everyone like losing their mind to that. I feel like Miles has just stuck around as a character. Like, I feel like I'm seeing way more and more like Miles Morales specific fans. So it's just like, I'm just feeling like, wow, like, Miles is really taking the spot. Like Miles, it's very simple. I remember someone asked me, they were like, who's your favorite Spider-Man in like the movie form? And I was like, it's Miles. And they were like, yeah, everyone's going to say Miles. I meant the white ones. And I was like, yes, like Miles is just the best Spider-Man right now.
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I meant the white ones.
Yeah.
Oh God. Oh. I'm gonna bring it back.
Sorry.
No, that. So we were talking about plot.
Yep.
And I feel like that's a terrible segue to talk about Spider-Man India, but I do want to talk about Spider-Man some more, because I was watching an interview with one of like the writers for the Spider-Man India comic actually earlier today. You know, they were just talking about how so many people have tried the like costume with the hair out and it never works.
Yeah,
like, this was like one of the first times, at least this. I was watching X-Ray Vision, so yeah, Jason Concepcion, Rosie Knight. Anyways, it was talking about how with like the perfect Bollywood hair, like it works so well. Oh God, I loved being in that world. It was only briefly, but that, just like that, this is a different energy. Mm-hmm. Again, you get like sort of like the canon event that his version of Uncle Ben, his moments like, I can, you know, the bus is about to fall. Yep. His Uncle Ben is going to die. He's like, I can do both. And obviously he can't. And Miles has to come in and save the guy. But yeah, it was just so. Oh, and then the thing about Chai.
Yep, Chai. I was over here, Chai and Nan, how we've all been messing that up for years.
Yeah, I definitely was like a little, like, I don't think I even drink chai like that, but it's definitely self-conscious. Like, yeah, that could easily be me.
Yep, that's definitely been me. That is multiple occasions been me.
Yeah, I don't know. What did you think of Spider-Man India?
Spider-Man India, okay, so like, it's really funny because a lot of people on the internet have been like, that is one of the greatest design upgrades of all time. Because like the previous Spider-Man India, like, I don't know if you've seen images, but it's just like Spider-Man with like the pants. Like they literally just did it with Spider-Man, like a normal Spider-Man costume with just like pant, like.
Oh, wow.
Like culture specific pants. And like. So like the design is an upgrade, and like so much, what a fun character. I feel like I'm so excited to see him in the next one. I feel like that again, like I'm over here, like the way they did these multicultural Spider-Mans, I'm over here like, yo, like the movie, like the live action movies got to pick it up, because it's like, we saw Spider-Man India for maybe 7 minutes of the movie, and he's already one of the coolest Spider-Men that we've gotten in film. Like, same thing with Spider-Man UK, same thing with, like, Spider-Woman. Like, it's going to be, like, the MCU is eventually going to give us a Spider-Woman, and it's going to be so sad that it's not going to be Issa Rae. Like,
oh, I'm so glad you brought up Issa. Like, yeah. Pregnant Spider-Woman.
Yes.
There's also just, because I'm also wondering, like, how are they going to, you know, admittedly, I don't, when I think about, you know, comic movies and fan casting, mm-hmm. like, you know, Issa Rae is not the first person that comes to mind.
Right.
But also, so I always wonder, like, when these certain people, same way, you know, we wonder about, like, Heath Ledger or someone
yep.
back in the day, like, how are these people going to fit into this role? Like, are they going to, you know, fully get in there, and it's like, dang, give me more of this.
Absolutely. You know?
Like, but also with Spider-Man India, so they had Kent Powers, who's one of the co-directors mm-hmm. of the movie on X-Ray Vision last week, and they were talking about like how they did that whole scene where it's like basically like they wrote a version, or they did like a draft version, then screened it for like this big writer's room of like various, like either, you know, Indian film writers or even like other, even like personalities, like, and some from like India, some, but also like Hasan Minhaj and people like that. Like it's a whole room where they basically like workshopped it in there to make sure they got,
yep,
that they got it right.
That's how you do it. Yeah. That is how you do it.
It's just like that attention again. The attention to detail, because like it jumps off the screen.
Oh, it right? jumps off the screen. You feel like, again, it's so, there's no point in this movie where it feels, and it's crazy. Like Tim, Lord and Miller, is it Tim? I'm losing their names, the directors. I have to pull up my IMDb. We'll definitely be able to cut this out. I think it's Lord and Miller. Or no, I don't want to be wrong. Phil Lord and Tim Miller. So already Phil Lord and Tim Miller have made, in my opinion, like one of the coolest animated movies of all time, which is the Lego Movie. Like that, that's them. They did Clone High. They've done a lot of really cool stuff. The fact that these two white men figured out an accurate depiction, what feels like an accurate depiction of New York, India, black UK, and like anarchy UK, and like all these different culturally specific. And like, we haven't even talked about Gwen. I don't know if you caught the subtext with Gwen, but everyone has been talking on the internet. The internet has caught that the transgender flag was right. all over Gwen's like household and everything, yep. and everyone's yep. like, Gwen is trans.
Ooh.
So it's like they didn't even have to say it. Like, and I don't know if they are going to say it, but the fans are going to run with it because it's all over Gwen's room. Gwen's dad has a little patch on his arm. The color scheme, obviously, in the space was everywhere. And I feel like even the story of, like, acceptance with Gwen and her dad is, like, so, like, Gwen is trans. Gwen is trans, y'all.
Even with that scene, and again, if you haven't watched it, well, you're here this far, so yeah. I can't help you.
So sorry.
But, you know, Gwen's dad, who's a cop,
yep.
you know, finds out her secret. She's a superhero. Yep. And instead of being like, I'm going to listen to you, it's like, well, I'm going to have to arrest you.
Yep.
Which is like the copiest cop thing ever. And Gwen's response of like, well, fine. I'm just going to go to another universe. Yep. Goodbye. I thought was, but, you know, take that lesson, kids. Is your parent a cop? And granted, I realize Miles' dad is also a cop.
Yep.
So there's some contradiction here. But yeah, just find out your parents a cop. Just skip to another universe.
Go to a different universe.
There's no point anymore.
Yeah. Everything's done.
But yeah.
Everything's like, done.
But also, again, it's like an allegory for finding out your child is trans and mm-hmm. responding terribly.
Terribly.
It works so well. Like you said, like, there's all that iconography. There's the protect trans kids.
Yep.
You know, poster right up there mm-hmm. in a room. It's just, just all that subtext. And again, it fits so well. We talked about the watercolors, the yep. scene literally crying to you
yep.
off the screen. It works. Oh, this so writing. Well.
The writing so is good. So good. It's so good. And it's like, there's so much, like, any of my friends who love animation, any of my friends who love good, like, I would be shocked to meet someone and be like, man, this movie is just not it. Like, there's like no, my friends who are the harshest on superhero movies have been like, this is like an all time. Like, it just is what it is. Like, Phil Lord, Tim Miller, I don't know how y'all did it. I know y'all have a whole team. Like, there's so many people, like, to the voice actors did a great job. Like, there's so much, but I know Phil Lord and Tim Miller have been the head, like, these two have done some of the craziest animation projects that we've seen. And the fact that this movie is so socially, culturally, and like just like comic book wise respectful to mm-hmm. the characters and like the world itself is crazy. And it's a Spider-Man movie,
right?
What? This is a Spider-Man movie.
It's an animated Spider-Man movie. Yeah, it's got everything you brought up, you know, to Phil Lord, Tim Miller. And like, I think I watched Lego Batman, but I don't think mm-hmm. I watched any of the Lego movies. But yeah, again, they literally, in the infinite universes of spider people and spider mm-hmm. characters, they cross fully over into Lego Spider-Man.
Yep.
It's like, you know, you're our most reliable
one
agent.
One of our most reliable agents.
It's just like, again, but it was seamless and it worked.
And it worked. And it was so great. Also, fun fact, I think like a 14-year-old black kid 3D animated that scene and ooh. They took that from him.
Oh, shit.
So that kid, I remember reading an article and it was like he animated it after he like got home from school and did his homework. And he took it like, it took him like 3 months to get that done.
That's crazy.
It's amazing, bro. The work they put into this film, like, it's just, it's incredible.
So that, while we're talking cameos,
yeah,
there was one,
yeah,
we're all talking about. It's Donald Glover in the Prowler costume,
yeah,
you know, basically in like a cage,
yep, in a cage.
But yeah, what did you think when Donald Glover popped up there?
So I'm usually pretty tame with cameos. I'm usually pretty chill. I can like handle it. Like, I'm usually like, okay, oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. This is the first time I like had such a reaction that I accidentally dropped some popcorn on my friend sitting next to me because it was so unexpected. Like, to me, that's how you cameo. That is something no one was expecting. Like, I remember Donald Glover in Spider-Man Homecoming right. as Uncle Aaron, and like being like, oh, that's what a fun little nod. We may never see this again. And then for him to just be chilling in a cage, like, and have like everyone walk by, also right next to Spider-Man PS4, just kicking, like, it's just so like, that is just such a ridiculous and fun call out. And then now I think I remember them saying that they were going to do a Hypno Hustler movie with Donald Glover.
Oh God,
that got canceled. It got canceled as of recently because they're like, well, actually, let's do some Prowler stuff with Donald Glover, which is going to be great. So like, again, like I love the nods. Like there's just so many fun little things. Like, I don't know if you noticed, but the old show Spectacular Spider-Man, which got canceled quite some time ago, and is like one of the most ranted and raved about Spider-Man shows of all time. Mm-hmm. Like, he is one of the Spider-Man that just pops up left and right in the series, in the movie. And like, he actually gets a line, like the dude who voice act the Spectacular Spider-Man gets a line. And it's just like, that's just so much like, you don't get this movie from people who don't love Spider-Man.
Oh, no.
Like, and it's great because it's like, I remember I saw a version of Jessica Drew in there. I saw like so many different like spider people that it's like, y'all love Spider-Man. Like, y'all just love, I saw a spider monkey. Like, it's just like they just love this character. And it's incredible because it's like the depictions of everyone is just, they killed it. Phil Lord, Tim Miller, y'all are an impressive duo, and I cannot wait to see what y'all do after this trilogy. Like, y'all got me hooked.
Yeah, I'm in agreement.
Yeah.
I'm in agreement. Which brings us, we've had a very substantive, praise in a lot of places.
I forgot this. Yeah.
But, as I've mentioned, part of my movie watching process is also, especially when it's something like this, I watch all the reviews, listen to, I also just follow a lot of nerd culture stuff anyway, so I'm going to do that. Anyway, but fan of the Ringerverse.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a question that came up while they were reviewing Across the Spider-Verse that I wanted to bring to the show today. So let me pull up this clip. And yeah, well, let's talk about it a little bit. So first clip.
I want to touch on something y'all said really quick. Is Miles in this movie like a Tiger Woods thing? Where it's just like, he's like, no. A black person coming into like a white field. And then there's just like, get the motherfucker away. He loved white women. Like, is he just kind of like, is he like a Tiger Woods where like all the Spider-Men are like, yo, shut up, bro. Like, just follow along, play the way we've been playing. You know what I mean? Contemplation.
So,
yeah.
is Miles Tiger Woods,
Yeah.
He's in a field, a lot of established, a lot of white people.
Yep.
He loves white women.
He loves
him. That was a lot.
Yeah. Miles is the opposite of Tom Holland, Spider-Man.
I'll say this again in watching other reviews, because I've noticed particularly, I think I'll also say it's like Dead End Hip Hop. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're posting it here. So particularly like black men content feels where there was some expressed skepticism about the first part of the movie, not even disapproval, but just like, because it starts with Gwen.
Yep.
And some people are like, why are we focusing all this time? Cause it's a long intro.
It's too. A very long intro. There's some time.
And it's all on Gwen's story. Obviously we've talked about it before, but just like getting to the emotions of that. And some people looked at that and said, we came here for Black Spider-Man, and you have us just, we're in this white kid's life all the way in. You've made this, have you okey-doked this? What are we doing here? And then we talk about the other part, Gwen getting introduced to Miles' parents.
Yeah.
I think the first one was at like, what was it? It's like a house party.
Yeah.
thing where Gwen just shows up and they see Miles and Gwen under the water tower, when I think Miles was also supposed to be grounded.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he had also, you know, earlier in the film was supposed to be grounded, and then they see him up here at the party talking to this white girl who they have never met.
Right.
And as, you know, black and brown parents.
Yep.
They had some thoughts.
The first name thing. Oh, that was such a funny moment, because that's definitely happened where it's like, you know, black and brown parents. It's Mr. and Mrs. Morales. You do not call them by their first name. Right. And Gwen makes the mistake and calls them both by their first name. And it's so funny.
Yeah. Or, see if I can pull up this meme from the show about, where is it here? Yes. So the attention to detail in the new Spider-Verse film is top-notch. You can tell Miles is Afro-Latino by the simple cultural aspects as he does. And you can tell Gwen is white because she had her fucking shoes on people's bed.
Nah. Yo! That is so real.
So good.
Wow.
But literally, because they have another scene where, you know, Gwen and Miles are talking in Miles' room. Mm-hmm. And then the parents have come up and Gwen pops out of the door.
Yep.
And obviously there's like, excuse me, what are you teenagers doing? And then Gwen also leaves her sweater in there.
Yep.
And it's just like, oh man.
It's so, oh.
Oh, we are, even if we're not having this conversation, mm-hmm. we are having this conversation, yep. as fans watching it.
Yep. It gets messy. It's definitely messy.
And look, I'm just going to just, you know, poop all over Miles for interracial relationships.
Yeah.
Love is love, all that good stuff. And he's what, 15?
He's 15.
It's a diverse community.
Yeah.
Everyone's there. This person who happens to
also
be the only person who knows your experience,
yep.
in your universe just popped up from another dimension. You know, it happens.
It happens.
I'm not going to call him Tiger Woods.
No.
That mind you, it is aspect.
Funny. It is definitely funny to call him Tiger Woods. Yeah,
you know, because, hey, we're watching, we see this.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the other aspect of that Tiger Woods comparison where it's like he's in the spider field. He has, yep. Miguel telling him, you don't belong here.
Yep.
You are a mistake.
straight up called him a mistake. Oh, my God.
You know, and he is fighting through that. He is also, as you point out, like, He's very good at his job, despite like he's still growing into it.
Yeah.
But like, he is young and he's making waves and feel like he's clearly, oh, okay, he's that guy.
He's definitely in the right. Like, I'm so interested. I mean, Miguel O'Hara, like, Miguel ain't no joke. Like, it was made very clear that Miguel ain't no joke. All the spider people were not a joke. And Miles still outdoes all of them. And it's not in like some fake, like, oh, he's not good enough. Like, they get some hits in. Like,
yeah.
A lot of them, like, Miguel almost gets him. And it's like, Miles still finds a way. So it's like, I don't know. That Tiger Woods comparison starts to look a little bit more interesting when, like, you look at how Miles is moving amongst the other spider people, for sure.
Mm. Yeah. And just draw a lot of attention that comes from being really good at your job.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I feel like I would have been remiss. We didn't have our exploration of the movie without just a wild accusation.
Yeah. Crazy little accusation. Again,
put extra emphasis on he loves white women.
Yep.
It's just like, hey.
Singular white women as well.
Yeah.
I feel like we've only seen Miles enjoy this one white woman so far. I don't know if we can give him the whole he loves white women plural when it's only Gwen. Yeah.
And even then, you know, right now it's an unrequited love situation.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, she's clearly got her thing with Hobie.
Yeah.
You know?
Also, definitely this is something I caught the second time through. When we meet the character who be using the VR, the spider character who uses VR,
mm-hmm.
her and Miles had a little moment too. And Gwen got a little bit jealous. Gwen, do you see Gwen's face get up? Like, Gwen feels this type of way about it. So, like, you know, like, Miles ain't totally gunning for white girls. Come on.
Hey. Justice for Miles' reputation.
Justice for Miles' reputation, please.
Oh, man. So, I'm definitely going to go see it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because I didn't catch that. So, now I'm going to be looking for that.
Keep your eyes for that.
Yeah. Trying to think what else. We covered a lot, and yet, you know, it's one of those things where with this movie where like so much else.
There's more.
But I don't know. Is there anything else you'd like to add just to kind of wrap up our exploration, our dive into the Spider-Verse?
I'm curious if you have a rating for this film, if you're comfortable doing a rating for this film. Okay.
Do you want to do the five scale again? Or
yeah, let's go five. Five scale is good.
Let's see. So I gave Ant-Man 3 a 2.
Yep.
I'm going to give this a 5. I feel very confident.
This is a 5 for me. I gave the first one a 5, and I like this one. I think I definitely like this one more than the first one. I've watched the second one twice, and I watched the first one in between both of those watches. And, like, if I could give this 6 stars, I think I would. This is like, I hope Oscars, if you're watching, I've had beef with you. We've talked about it on this show. I've had beef with you. If this movie does not win Best Animation and does not, I think it deserves to be in the running for Best Picture.
Oh, yeah.
If it doesn't end up in both of those, y'all continue to be racist and you got to pay reparations.
Exactly.
100.
Oscars. In fact, even if it does, even if it wins Best Picture.
Yep.
Oscars, pay up.
Pay up.
Pay up.
Pay those reparations.
Wrap there. Just wrap it on that. This has been the Bruce Poinsett Show. Again, you can catch us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on the Numbers FM 96.7, or you can catch clips on youtube.com/Bruce Poinsett. If you want access to exclusive bonus coverage, you can go to patreon.com/Bruce Poinsett. And make sure to follow us on Twitch at twitch.tv/TheNumbersFM. That's numbers with a Z. Or on the Numbers Podcast Network on all podcasting platforms or thenumberspodcast.com. Again, that's numbers with a Z.